PC Recycler, we recycle electronics, as the name sounds. Our spin is sort of we focus on secure destruction.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for clients that have a need to dispose of obsolete electronics but really want to take high consideration to data security and how that information that's being disposed, how it's going to be managed and things like that.
Is that a space that's expanding? Because it seems to me over the last, say, 5 years or so, the idea of what is proprietary and what should be kept secure has expanded exponentially. I would imagine that affects your market space.
Yeah, it definitely does. Well, data security in general is expanding. I mean, you know, it's every day we read about some sort of data breach. So we focus on physical security.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people invest a lot of time and energy protecting networks and buying firewalls and antivirus. But very little thought is put into, hey, the computer has died now. What do we do? And a lot of people think, well, the computer died. The information must be died. And that's just, you know, not true. And a lot of people are starting to understand that. So, yeah, it's definitely expanding. And there's been a lot of government breaches over the last few years and things like that. So, you know, we're seeing continued growth and continued demand for our services.
It's a fascinating space because every once in a while you see a story in the news or hear something about somebody goes and buys a computer on eBay or something like mm-hmm. that and finds information on it
yeah.
that the person who was getting rid of it probably right. would rather have not been exposed to people. Is that the kind of thing that you're dealing in?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those situations where people think when they put it in the recycle bin or they hit delete, it's gone. And
mm-hmm.
that's just not the case.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not really deleted. The computer is really just reallocating the space. And what our services are is we're going to come in and we're going to take the hard drive or the data storage device, because it could be a phone, it could be tapes from a you know backup,
mm-hmm.
It could be you know SIM cards out of a phone or memory sticks or whatever, and we're gonna like literally shred those up into lots of little pieces and
wow.
destroy them, and it doesn't actually get rid of the data, but mm-hmm. what it does is it makes it incredibly hard to you know to get at it.
Now. Is the mental picture that I have of like a shredded piece of paper, is
yes.
it the same with a hard drive? I mean, it's literally,
yeah,
you'd have to piece the thing back together to find the data?
Yeah, so take that mental picture and then add 5,000 pounds to it. That's what we're talking about, is a 5,000-pound machine that acts very much like a paper shredder. It's got big grinders in it, and there's a motor that generates, and it needs power. And we're putting the drives into this machine, and they're coming out on a conveyor in little chunks. And so, you know, it's hard drives, it's cell phones, it's, you know, tapes. I mean, a lot of government agencies or large corporations now are migrating away from these massive tape farms.
Mm-hmm.
And so they may need to dispose of 50,000 tapes at a time.
Yeah. I will warn you that if I ever apply for a job at your company, don't hire me, because about two or three times a day, I'd want to just come down and drop
right.
stuff in the grinder.
Yeah.
That sounds really amazing.
Whenever we get a new machine, everybody wants to come and see it.
Yeah.
You know, and then they want to experiment with putting things in there, like toys and stuff.
Like that Will It Blend thing.
Yeah, exactly. Right,
yeah.
right. We thought about trying to figure out a way to
Will It Grind?
Yeah.
That's your angle right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. Will It Grind? I mean,
uh-huh.
really, you can put just about anything in there. I mean,
that's really
wild.
The
machine will protect itself. So.
So as you mentioned, the tape farms that agencies are doing away
yes.
with and all kinds of legacy systems
yes.
and so on, what are agencies coming to you with mostly and saying, we want to make sure this is ground up?
Well, you know, hard drives and tapes mostly. We're starting to see phones. A lot of, you know, people are starting to, you know, it really comes to, is this item disposable?
Mm-hmm.
Is it gotten to a point where fixing it and redeploying it is not an option? So an older phone, like an old BlackBerry, the one with the monochrome screens, I mean, you're just not going to redeploy those, because
right.
you can basically get them for free when
uh-huh.
you sign a contract. So it's a lot of those types of things that are not going to be repurposed anywhere, that the only option and the best option to get rid of it is to have it destroyed. So a lot of tapes, a lot of hard drives.
What are some of the questions that agencies should be asking themselves in addition to that kind of a question
mm-hmm.
when they're deciding whether they should bring something to a company like yours?
Well, I think first is to evaluate the risk, because, you know, as I said a few minutes ago, shredding it is doesn't really get rid of the information. It just kind of – it's like paper. When you shred paper, if you put the paper back together, you can still get it. Mm-hmm. So I think first question is what's our risk here? What how much or how bad is this going to be if there's a data breach? So that's typically one of the first questions we'll ask them. Is this, you know, because it could be life and death. I mean, it could be, you know, government secrets that could put people in harm's way. So that's the first thing. And then the next thing is obviously the big C question. How much do you want to pay?
Mm-hmm.
Because with various degrees of security come various degrees of cost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's pretty simple. I mean, we try to make it as uncomplicated as possible. I think the last piece is, you know, what sort of documentation do you want? The documentation is actually one of the things that I think gets overlooked at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's enough to say I destroyed it. It's another thing when your manager who is on the other side of the country says, prove it to me.
Yeah.
How do you prove it?
Yeah. That angle of it was where I wanted to go next, because as kind of a parallel, I've been cleaning stuff out of our basement, and I have a big pile of stuff that I got to take someplace and have shredded.
Yep.
And as I looked online to find a place to do it, I noticed that some places were now saying you can stand there and watch them shred your stuff.
Right.
And I thought, well, I never would have thought of that, and yet that's a service that now I've decided I want for that accountability thing that you're
talking exactly.
about.
And that's one of the things that we sort of push on people is we have the capabilities to bring our big 5,000-pound machine right to their loading dock because it's in a truck.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll do it right there while they watch. Literally, they can have a point of contact come and kind of hang out, and you know, we bring them water or a chair or something, try to make it comfortable, and we do our business. And you know, the nice thing is that it really, really, really reduces the liability, because that's really what we're in the business of doing, is reducing liability for people.
Is it getting easier or harder, do you think, to do business with the government?
Well, you know, for us, it's getting harder because cost is such a big deal now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the government is in cost saving mode. And so, and not that that isn't that it's a problem for us, but it's difficult for me personally to sit there and have a conversation with someone when they're saying, we want this to be cheap as possible. We want it to be cheap as possible. And then for them to say, oh, by the way, if there's a data breach, soldiers in Afghanistan could be put at jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to not add up for some reason. So I feel like we're always trying to say to people, listen, we're going to give you the most cost effective solution we can. But understand that there's more to this than just the price.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you want it done? What sort of documentation do you want it done? So, you know, and these government employees, I mean, they've just been trained to, like, you know, best price, best price, best price.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's been a challenge for us.
What kinds of regulations, what kinds of requirements, so on, come with contracts like these?
Yeah, so that's a good point. That would probably be our next piece that makes it difficult, is there's not a lot of standardization. There's a few government, NIST has put out some things. The NSA, because they're in that business, tries to, you know, participate. And, you know, but there's not a real clear unified way of doing this based on X. I mean, there is some, but it's very difficult to read. It's not user friendly. So most of the time we feel like we're trying to educate, you know, a government buyer to say, look, this is the way you're supposed to be doing it. And of course, that always comes with a degree of, well, you're just trying to sell me.
Right.
So there's not a lot out there. There is an organization called NAID, which is the National Association of Information Destruction. It was started by paper shredders. They are, you know, a grassroots nonprofit that is trying to build, you know, certifications. We're certified by them, but you know, they're not known that much in the community, but definitely, you know, gaining some popularity and things like that. So, well, that's one of the things we always tell people is like, hey, you know, there's this organization, NAID, and, you know, focus on them, you know, read their stuff, read how they certify. And so
Jeremy Farber's my guest of PC Recycler on Industry Chatter today on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Continue our conversation in a moment.
To better vision, United Healthcare Vision understands the importance of good eyesight for you and your family.
That's why United Healthcare Vision programs offer federal enrollees and their families a convenient mix of independent and retail providers and industry-leading benefits for glasses, contacts, and discounts on LASIK procedures. United Healthcare Vision is the clear choice. In fact, 9 out of 10 United Healthcare Vision Fed VIP members would recommend the plan to family and friends. The Fed VIP open season period for federal employees and retirees is from November 14th through December 12th. Don't miss out on this opportunity to protect your most precious gift, the gift of sight. For more information about benefit plans and how to enroll, visit United Healthcare Vision at myuhcvision.com/fedvip. myuhcvision.com/fedvip. If you want industry-leading vision benefits and a convenient provider network, look no further than United Healthcare Vision this open season.
Traveling on government business is no vacation, especially when it comes to finding the right accommodation at the right price. That's why GSA developed FedRooms, the government's official lodging program. With a global selection of top-quality properties and powerful online travel tools, FedRooms stands alone as the smartest way to book great rooms while saving money and complying with travel regulations. Whether you're a federal civilian employee or member of the military, FedRooms makes it easy to book and pay for rooms at the best possible rate, at or below per diem, with no hidden fees. Best of all, you can find FedRooms rates in all government travel online booking tools. Always select the FedRooms rate. FedRooms helps you to stay focused on your agency's mission. To find out more about FedRooms, visit FedRooms.gov. That's FedRooms.gov. FedRooms, where you can rest assured you got the best rate.
And now, the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
Federal agencies have 4 months to develop diversity and inclusion plans under a broad, brief, government-wide strategy. Three goals, workforce diversity, workplace inclusion, and sustainability. The plan, with the guidance, emphasizes training and suggests agencies form diversity and inclusion councils. OPM is offering training to agencies for the next 4 months while they develop their specific plans. I'm Amy Morris.
Did you know there is a nonprofit association founded in 1943 that provides life insurance at rates far less than the federal program? This nonprofit also offers a college scholarship program and has a premium refund policy that's returned over $58 million in refunds to its policyholders since 1996. The company's name is WEPA. In these challenging economic times, life insurance from WEPA allows you to save your hard-earned money. Visit WAEPA.org. Once again, that's WAEPA.org.
Tom Temin here with a preview of tomorrow's Federal Drive. The Office of Personnel Management rolls out a new snow policy for federal workers. We'll tell you all about it. Snow could hit any day. Plus, we'll talk with the Defense Language Institute. It's moved into the EDU domain, and that's got a lot of implications. Those stories and more tomorrow morning starting at 6 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. And for all the latest federal news, be sure to visit federalnewsradio.com.
We're back on In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Jeremy Farber of PC Recycler, my guest on Industry Chatter today. And you brought up a word during the break that's a word that I've been familiar with in the radio business, being around tape for many years, and that's degaussing.
Yes.
The idea that you run a magnet over something. Mm-hmm. In my case, it was big old open reel tapes.
Oh, yeah.
And whatever's on there is gone. Talk about how that applies to information security now in a digital computer age.
Yeah, so we talked about shredding, right, as a way to make getting at the data really difficult. So think about a magnet, like just a magnet on your refrigerator. If you take that magnet and you smash it up, or you run it through a shredder, and the little pieces come out on the other end, they're still magnetic,
mm-hmm.
right? You haven't really – so that's kind of the thing with a hard drive is when you shred it, the information is still there. Granted, it may be a bunch of little pieces. So – typically, when we're talking to someone who has a really high security concern and they just want, like, give me the works, man. I want supersize me, whatever you want to call it. I need to throw everything you got at this. What we'll do is we have a machine. It's called a degausser. It's a very expensive machine. It goes on a truck. We take it out to the location. And basically what it is it's a series of – they call them rare earth magnets – They're not really rare, so I don't know why they call them rare earth magnets, but they're magnets. And the drive will actually run in between these magnets, and it will eliminate the magnetism of the drive. And that's actually what the CIA does and the NSA and some of these agencies that are just not willing to ever outsource this type of service to a company like us. They will, you know, running it through this machine will eliminate the magnetism. And you can do it with tapes. The difference, like we were talking about with tapes, is that you can reuse the tape in certain, mm-hmm. in some cases. With hard drives, the hard drive's dead. It's not going to work anymore. And then we'll go on and we'll shred it.
So that seems like that's like the ultimate level
that
of
is the
protection.
That is the ultimate level.
Because even if you pieced it back together, there's nothing on it anymore. Right?
No, and the theory with shredding it in addition to that is if for some reason you made a mistake, if I gave you two hard drives, one degaussed and one not degaussed, you uh-huh. wouldn't be able to tell which one because it doesn't change the physical nature of the drive.
Right.
So then by shredding it, now you've got a two-layer system. That guarantees, and then the documentation is sort of your audit to say, yeah, all these drives that were supposed to get destroyed did go through this process.
Now, we've talked about what sounds to me like the ultimate levels of this kind of security.
Yes.
There've got to be other layers. I mean, when you talk about risk management, you don't necessarily have to do this with every single thing.
Right.
What are the steps in between just the way a piece of equipment, a phone or a hard drive or whatever, sits on my desk and the other layers up till what we've been talking about, the degaussing and then shredding?
Yeah, so there's degaussing and shredding. Then there's electronic forms. Like we were saying, you know, you can buy, off the internet programs. I mean, really, the two ways to eliminate information on a hard drive is to either degauss it and shred it or to write over it. So some people will, buy somebody at home or something wants to get rid of something. You can buy these data wiping programs, and basically what they do is they write ones and zeros on every sector of the hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
The downside to that is it takes a long time,
mm-hmm.
and it's a little technically challenging. A 150 gig hard drive could take 2 to 3 hours to complete because it's literally writing, all over the place. So there's that. There's, reformatting. We've had people tell us that they take the drives out and run a drill press through them, which is, a method of physical destruction. I mean, really, I think it's just being responsible,
mm-hmm.
Even you get a new phone. I mean, now phones are designed to wipe the information, use that feature,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I have an iPhone, and before I give my old one away, I check the box that says, reset to factory settings.
Yeah. Let's do a little myth busting here.
All right.
I'll throw a couple of perceptions at you about information security, particularly computer security, and you tell me whether they're right or not. If I delete something from my computer and I can't find it, mm-hmm. if I can't find it in the directory, that means it's gone and I don't have to worry about it again.
No. When you delete something, the controller on in the hard drive is only told that the space is now allocated.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got like a 20 gig hard drive and you got 10 gigs of video and you delete, well, that's a bad example. If you had a Word document and you deleted it in the recycling bin, you emptied your recycling bin, it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
That's how these guys, these FBI agents find this stuff. It's not gone. It's the computer's just been told, hey, when you need that space, you can now write over it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, if I really want to get rid of everything on my machine, mm-hmm. I can save all my files, back them all up, and reformat the hard drive, and then the thing is clean and I'm starting over from scratch.
Again, because reformatting only deals with how the information is stored. So you're talking about partitions and things like that. It doesn't get rid of the information. It's still there.
Okay. So what I'm getting at is mm-hmm. a lot of the things that people believe are the ways to get rid of, to scrub information from machines aren't really the ways to do it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. No, I mean, a lot of people think that if they do a couple IT things that they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not the case. I mean, really the two authentic ways to eliminate information is one, to degauss it, or two, to run a program that writes ones and zeros all over the drive. Now, If you and I at home want to do that, I think that's a good method.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a government agency or a government contractor that's dealing with a server farm that has, you know, 1,000 drives, hello.
Probably not going
to
work.
You know, unless you want to pay your guy to sit there, which I'm sure he'll love because you don't. There's nothing to do. You start the program and you hang out and have a Diet Coke.
Angry Birds.
Yeah, Angry Birds, right.
All right. Jeremy Farber of PC Recyclers, my guest on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll continue our conversation in just a minute.
Force 3 presents great moments in military sports history, celebrating 20 years of serving this nation's great military and government. Force 3, let's do something great. Number 1 versus number 2, Army, Navy, both undefeated. Entering the final week of the 1945 season, the rivals squared off with pride and the national championship at stake. Mr. Inside, Glenn Doc Blanchard, capped his Heisman Trophy-winning season with 3 touchdowns as Army rolled to a 32-13 victory and a second straight national championship.
This is Rocky Cintron, founder and CEO of Force 3. This year, Force 3 is celebrating 20 years of designing innovative technology solutions. But we're not throwing a party or designing a commemorative logo. Instead of congratulating ourselves, we're congratulating the men and women whose bravery and sacrifice has allowed us to pursue our dreams. For 20 years, Force 3 has proudly served the technology needs of the armed services, and we will never take for granted their remarkable service to us. So remember, the next time you see a soldier, say thanks.
To make a commitment is to see things through. Confident that no matter what the obstacles, we can build something better together. With the planned combination of AT&T and T-Mobile, we're making a commitment to create a stronger network for all our customers. We will invest an additional $8 billion and build out the next generation of mobile broadband to nearly everyone in America. Building that network will mean better coverage, better call quality, and faster downloads. But it will also create as many as 96,000 American jobs. And we will begin bringing 5,000 jobs to America from overseas. We're committed to investing in America now. Why? Well, we know it's good business. Because America has always been, and always will be, a smart investment. AT&T. Rethink possible.
Welcome to Beltway Q&A. The guest is Dan Doherty, Vice President of EMC Federal. Today's question, how are IT managers accelerating cloud and virtualization while reducing the cost of infrastructure?
Federal customers have to do more with less. EMC Unified Storage is simple and efficient in virtualized environments. Having the most integration with virtual environments means you go faster and save more money.
So EMC takes the risk and cost out of virtualized environments.
That's right. EMC is number one in virtualized environments.
Now available on GSA schedule through government acquisition.
Sleeping Easy from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Nicholas Garlow with HHS HealthBeat. Your bed and your weight scale may have more in common than you think. The study Sleep Ahead observed the effects of a weight loss program on people with sleep apnea. For up to 4 years, participants attended weekly meetings and group sessions tracking food intake, weight, and even portion control. Dr. Gary Foster is at Temple University.
The greater the amount of weight loss, the greater the improvement. So people are most likely to benefit from weight loss are people with more severe forms of sleep apnea and those who lose the most weight.
Snoring or gasping for breath while you sleep can be typical signs of obstructive sleep apnea.
The first suggestion would be to go to a sleep lab and get a sleep study done under the direction of a physician.
The study in the journal Archives of Internal Medicine was supported by the National Institutes of Health. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Nicholas Garlow.
Give the gift of Caps Hockey with a holiday gift pack. Caps holiday gift packs include 2 tickets to 3 exciting Caps games, an autographed puck, 2 Caps hats, and 2 passes for public skates at the Kepler Capitals Iceplex. There's no better way to celebrate the holidays. For more information on Caps holiday gift packs and to find out how you can win an ultimate Caps holiday experience, call 202-266-CAPS. Text HOLIDAY to 43803 or log on to washingtoncaps.com/holiday.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Jeremy Farber of PC Recycler, my guest on Industry Chatter today. And we were talking again during the break, and the word commoditization came up. And
yes.
That's a word that I
yes.
hear all the time. And chief information officers like it because it makes the idea of buying it and maintaining IT easier.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine that also makes it easier on the back end for them to get rid of stuff, and probably is good for business for you too.
Yeah, well, it's definitely shortened the life cycle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple years ago, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, the idea that we would actually dispose of a computer or actually pay someone to dispose of it for you was, you were crazy. Why mm-hmm. would you do that? Why wouldn't you reuse it somewhere? And so a lot of it was reuse. It was dealing with the information, you know, a series of computers, maybe, you know, most big organizations have a refresh schedule, would come down. They may get, you know, refurbished. Maybe they get donated to a school. Maybe they get sent to another agency or another sector or division of the company. Now we're at this place where it's so cheap. I mean, we just got done with Black Friday, and mm-hmm. you can get a laptop for $200 now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, desktops are right in there. So the idea that we would spend time refurbishing it and reusing it is just not the case anymore. And also, it's been the acceleration of storage capacity. Why would you use an 80 gig hard drive when you can go out for, you know, $50 and buy a 2 terabyte
mm-hmm.
hard drive?
Yeah, even on a schedule where you're buying something that's ready to be secure. Well, that's the other issue too, is a lot of the stuff that's at agencies that's on the end of a life cycle, I imagine, you're doing security on the back end where mm-hmm. we're talking about the kind of things we're talking about now. You go out and you buy a new thumb drive mm-hmm. that's got security technology built right into it instead of bolted on at the end.
Yeah.
And that makes a big difference, I would imagine, for agencies too.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's incorporating this idea of disposal and end of life management
mm-hmm.
into the very beginning of the procurement process. That was a problem for us several years ago, is a lot of these procurement officers or purchasing people at companies would say to us, yeah, but we didn't budget for this. It's like, well, why not? Well, they just never thought about the idea that at some point it could become disposal.
Yeah.
And I don't knock them out. I doubt that I would have thought of it that way either. But, you know, it's really looking at the whole life cycle and saying, hey, at some point we're going to have to deal with this stuff, and mm-hmm. it might cost money.
Well, and in hindsight, it makes a lot of sense that you would think, well, at some point in time I have this device that has information on it that I don't want anybody else to see,
mm-hmm.
and I can't just sit it on the curb
right.
and take a chance that somebody will pick it up. That
right.
seems like kind of
Yeah, it seems
sense.
Logical, but somehow a lot of people missed it for whatever reason. I don't know, and we don't judge. That's really important. Like, when, you know, we're always like, hey, it's cool. We understand. We're not going to judge you. Let it work with us, and let's try to come up with a solution that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You
mentioned earlier that one of the issues that you run into when you're dealing with agencies is there isn't really any – there's no guidance to go by. There mm-hmm. there are no regulations. There are no recommendations and so on, apart from a few things that you mentioned. What do you think end-of-life management guidance or regulation should look like?
Well, I think in a perfect world it would be some, you know, and there is, it's evolving. So maybe, you know, let me clarify, their end of life from a recycling standpoint has started to become more unified. The president, President Obama, put out a directive this past spring about end of life management and how they wanted a federal standard. And, you know, not a lot of talk about data security, which kind of irked me a little bit, but you know, some sentences in there about it. Not mm-hmm. enough, in my opinion. But so, you know, the government is trying to deal with this problem in sort of a unified way. The challenging thing is that when you're talking about recycling, it's an environmental problem, and that sort of gets pushed. You know, right now they're interested in cutting budgets, not increasing costs.
Mm-hmm.
From a data security standpoint, you know, it almost feels like a lot of the departments and then maybe even the agencies within the departments, they have their own way of doing it. You know, I read an Army directive on how to dispose of this that had some contradicting statements in it about, you know, they were actually advocating against degaussing, which totally blew my mind. So, you know, it's just it's not clear. It's not unified and streamlined across the board, like where everybody can go to this place. And NIST typically is the people for that. And I feel like they've done a good job. They came out with I think it's NIST 880-88 or 800-88 that talks about, you know, ways to destroy information. And they talk about paper and things like that. But it's old. It's dated. You know, it was written before the idea of disposing of a hard drive was needed. So, you know, we're so concerned with data security. For some reason, we just haven't brought the policies up to where I think they should be.
Well, you raised something there that I think is pretty interesting. What's the state of the art, or what is the technological evolution in what you do? It's pretty easy to see it in smartphones and tablets and other elements of the kinds of things we're talking about. But what do you do better today than what you did a year ago or whatever, if there is such a thing?
Well,
I mean, I don't know whether you grind it into smaller pieces.
We continue to get better at the documentation piece. Because if you're talking about life cycle, okay, so now you're saying I'm going to buy 1,000 computers, or I'm going to, you know, now it's server farms, right? Forget computers. We're at a day and age where, you know, data centers are popping up like, you know, Macy's stores. I mean, they're on every corner. They're all over. I mean, if you go to Ashburn, it's data center central. So you're talking about data centers. We have a customer, and I can't disclose who they are, but they have literally millions of drives running at one time. So if you're managing a million hard drives, how do you know that if you buy a million hard drives, that a million hard drives got destroyed? So that's what we're working on. We are focusing our attention on saying, hey, you know what? Destroying it is great, and degaussing is great, and yeah, we took care of it. But if you bought it, how do you know that it made it to that process? How do we close that loop and sort of make an auditable system?
What do agencies usually ask you for when it comes to that kind of auditability?
They don't. They don't. I mean, they just ask for a record of what they destroyed. You know, typically what we're assuming is that they're already doing that. They've already, you know, most agencies or big corporations have an inventory system. They have an asset management system. So they're keeping track of their assets.
Right.
So they'll use that. Well, one computer, one drive, you know, type thing. And we'll give them documentation with every serial number and computer serial number, whatever they want, whatever sort of descriptive information they would like. We'll give it to them in an Excel or a CSV file that they can upload, and they'll use that. But now it's, you know, you're talking about maybe you have a server farm with 50 servers, and each one of those servers has maybe 40 drives in it. So do the math. I mean, it's a different type of asset management problem. And that's sort of what we're thinking about is, hey, this is not an asset management problem. This is a data storage, you know, retention idea. You know, we haven't really coined a catchy phrase for it, but maybe you can come up with something.
I'll work on that during the break. When we come back, you talked there about what they're actually asking you for. When we come back, let's talk about what they should be asking you for.
Yeah. Okay, great.
My guest on In Depth with Francis Rose today is Jeremy Farber of PC Recycler on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Back in a moment.
As the single largest generator of jobs for the Department of Defense, Lockheed Martin's F-35 represents more than just innovation and freedom. It's an advanced technology program that fuels our nation's economic engine. As a leading-edge fighter, the F-35 has unprecedented capabilities that will help America and its allies defend freedom. And it's creating direct and indirect jobs for over 120,000 Americans and impacting more than 1,300 suppliers in 47 states across the U.S., software developers in California, steel workers in Pennsylvania, and engineers in Georgia are all working to secure our skies. The F-35 Lightning II program, securing freedom, securing jobs, securing America's future. To learn more, visit F35.com.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, every Friday morning at 11. Brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO. This week, host Bill Bransford will be joined by Walt Francis of Consumers Checkbook to talk about open season and top federal health plan issues.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris, weekday morning 6 to 10.
John Lazar is executive director of the CFC of the National Capital Area.
The Office of Personal Management has just extended our campaign through December 31st. Usually the campaign closes on the 15th, but I really believe that OPM realizes that the need out there, especially this year, is greater than ever.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Wake up and drive in with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris on the Federal Drive. It's your early line on the day ahead from your trusted advisors. Tom and Amy give you a full view of the issues. Find out what your colleagues in other agencies are up to and what policy and congressional developments mean to you. The Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Jeremy Farber of PC Recyclers, my guest. And we talked before about the fact that agencies don't really ask you for a whole lot of documentation when they give you, let's just say I bring you 1,000 hard drives and I want you to get rid of them. And agencies are not really doing anything other than inventory control. Mm-hmm. What should I ask you for? What should I ask you to prove to me that you did get rid of those 1,000 drives, that they're really gone and I don't have to think about them anymore?
Well, I think it starts with some level of documentation of what you have, right? To do an audit, you need a starting point and an end point. So, at a minimum, give us hey, here's all the computer serial numbers or something that – that we can work against. So, I think it's just like balancing your checkbook. You have your starting balance and your ending balance, and you sort of work through the numbers, and at the end you're hoping to get to zero. It's as simple as that. It doesn't have to be this complex process. That I feel like would be something that would give some certainty to it. Now, one of the things, and somebody told me this, they said, okay, well, if we do that and then we discover that some are missing, then what? And I'm like, well, I don't know. That's why we do it on site, so right. You can watch everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's not our job to make sure that all of them were done. We're just going to make sure that all the ones you give us are done.
Mm-hmm.
I think looking at certifications, there's some of our competitors – do it differently, and I'm not going to disparage any of my competition, but I think we take it several steps further. We are NAID certified, the organization I was telling you, National Association Information Instruction. We have a certification through them, which really evaluates a lot of things, facility security. We background check all our employees. Those types of things I think are important pieces in the conversation because it goes beyond just – the destruction. I think we're coming to a place now where the destruction is like, yeah, we know about it. We need to destroy. But, there's more around that. Who are the guys that are just doing the destruction? Are they convicted felons because they know how to drive a truck and operate a machine?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they guys who have gone through a 7-year background check to make sure that they're totally legit? Those types of things.
I continue to be surprised at the things that people maybe don't think of that
sure.
that just never occur to people
right.
when it comes to secure information, and that's one of them I would have never thought of.
Yeah, no, I and that's why I don't judge, And what we tell people is, hey, we're the experts. Like that's all we do. We don't do anything else. We're not out, doing this and doing that. All we focus on and all we think about is how do we protect your information. That's it. Nothing else. So if you think of us that way, as consultants. And think of us as a way as someone to offer solutions. Then we're gonna present the questions that you're not going
to
think of.
All right. To that end, then, a personal question. Yes. I have a very hard time believing that when you were a kid, you said, when I grow up, I'm going to start a company that shreds hard drives.
Right.
How did you get to this?
Okay. Good question. You're right. I didn't think of that. When I got out of college, eBay was starting up, and I decided that I thought it would be cool to sell stuff on eBay. I started out in computers. First selling new computers, then I went to refurbished, and then I figured out, hey, there's companies out there that have old stuff that they need to get rid of, you know, and one of the things I first figured out is, you know, if you can get it really cheap and then sell it, that's the best scenario.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you get it for free, not pay anything for it and sell it. So that was probably first 2 years. And then one of our first big customers was Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm.
Just totally random, got lucky, ran into the guy, this guy who had a bunch of stuff. And he said, hey, you know, we really like you. You seem really, you know, passionate about this. We'd love to do business with you, but what are you going to do with the information? And I was like, what do you mean? And he said, well, how are you going to get rid of it? So, you know, I don't want to say what I did back then because it makes me sound a little archaic, but that evolved.
It was the technology of the times.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So that evolved, and long story short, we ended up getting our first government contractor, and they really liked us. But that question came up again.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what are you going to do with the information? Recycle all you want. We love the recycling. We love the environmental. But data security is higher on the threat list.
Mm-hmm.
I started thinking about, like, how do we do this? How do we make it cost effective but make it really good? And so that sort of led us into data security and data shredding.
Sounds like some folks saw the same GAO reports that I did about stuff that was available not just on eBay but all over the internet about information that was just floating around out there.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, you know, information control is I think – one of our biggest challenges. I mean, I read something somewhere where it said we create in 2 days the same amount of information that we created in all of history up to 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you think about, like, how much information is being created, and we have to figure out a way to manage that even when it's not at the end of its life cycle, but just, you know, when it's residing on a server and who has access to it and can they get it and put it on a thumb drive and those types of things. And, you know, it's just – it personally bothers me. I'm very patriotic. That's why I love living in D.C. And it just bothers me that somebody in another country or somebody in, you know, somewhere could get access to information and give it to someone in the wrong hands. I mean, the whole WikiLeaks thing, that just drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I feel like, hey, here's what I can do to fight that battle.
Within every market niche,
mm-hmm.
there are other elements that kind of rotate in orbit around it. What are the things that maybe you don't do but that are close to what you do and that agencies should be thinking about?
Yeah, so well, we don't really do true asset management.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do you know, when you buy a computer, we're not providing software products. So those things, there's a transportation element.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to opt not to destroy drives on site, how are they going to go from point A to point B? You know, I'm trying to think. I mean, there's really not that much. There's the whole recycling thing that, you know, we tend to do a really, really good job at of covering. But, you know, I think now really where, and this is just me sort of foreshadowing, I think our industry is really going to become somewhat of a software solution, you know, and that's what we're working towards, is trying to create a software solution that can go along with this to respond to this sort of audit that we talked about.
Mm-hmm. We'll wrap up when we come back in just a minute on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest is Jeremy Farber of PC Recycler on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Here's Alfred Rivera, Director of Computing Services, DISA, on the Federal Executive Forum on Defense Cloud Computing, sponsored by Red Hat.
We're going to have a new process in terms of the acquisition and the policy processes. They're going to change the way we do agile development across the Department of Defense. Mm-hmm. We're going to have in place a technology that allows us to do virtual agile development from development to test to production. We're going to have this coalition of capabilities between our communities that do development.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
The White House's 25-point IT reform plan has everyone talking about cloud first, agility, speed, and standards. Hi, this is Paul Smith from Red Hat, the most trusted open source company in the world. The largest public clouds run on open source, and Red Hat helps agencies build clouds the open source way. Private, public, or hybrid, you'll have your choice of vendors, deploy your applications quickly and securely, and keep control of your infrastructure. Join us at redhat.com/cloud and follow us on Twitter at redhatgov.
If you're a federal employee, it's time to choose your health insurance plan. So now's a good time to know about a different health plan that actually rewards you for living healthy. It's called Healthy Blue, and it's the next generation of health benefits from CareFirst Blue Choice. Healthy Blue rewards you with no-cost office visits, x-rays, lab tests, and preventative screenings, plus no referrals. And how's this for a reward? After switching to Healthy Blue, families can earn up to $700 towards their deductible and individuals $300. Healthy Blue is a new and positive approach to health care, and it's one more example of how committed CareFirst is to working with you and your doctor to help you on the road to good health. Visit HealthyBlueRewards.com to see how easy it is to earn up to $700 now and save even more through the years. Then take greater control of your costs and your health by choosing Healthy Blue from CareFirst. You, your doctor, and CareFirst. A healthy relationship.
From the CareFirst Blue Cross Blue Shield family of healthcare plans, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association, some no-cost benefits and rewards are only available through your Blue Choice PCP.
This is John Gilroy from Federal Tech Talk. You know, I've done over 200 interviews here on Federal News Radio, but many listeners still ask, yes, John, but what does your company do? Well, my company is called Armature. For the past decade, we have worked with organizations to help improve the way they collect data. You may call it comprehensive data collection, data analysis, or even outcomes measurements. If your agency has any problems with collecting, analyzing, or displaying data, then please visit our website at armaturecorp.com. We can help.
Join a firm for lunch on Thursday, December 8th, as they tackle the changing landscape of government contracting. You'll hear the results of Tech America's 47th annual federal market forecast, followed by a panel of experts from NASA, GSA, NIH, NOAA, and the Navy, who will discuss the latest trends and techniques in government acquisition. This luncheon briefing will take place at the Sofitel Hotel in D.C. on December 8th. So register today at affirm.org.
Headed to Fort Detrick or the I-270 Technology Corridor, Federal News Radio can be heard crystal clear on 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. It's the same great station, just on an added frequency. Get the latest news about the federal government and government contractors. Hear exclusive interviews with the movers and shakers in the federal arena. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM or 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. Federal News Radio, your source for federal news now.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Jeremy Farber of PC Recycler, my guest on Industry Chatter today. And we've talked about kind of where you've come from and where your business stands today. What should I be paying attention to as a potential customer of yours and an agency moving forward? What's the trend line look like? What's the evolution line look like?
For us or for the industry?
Both.
Both. Well, for us, I think it's a, you know, continued, you know, we're always trying to make our services better. Mm-hmm. We're really big on innovation. We're one of the first of our pack to get this degausser that can degauss 1,800 drives in an hour. It's really, really fast. I don't think any of our competition has something like that. We were one of the first in D.C. to get a mobile shredder. So, you know, it's just we're going to continue to innovate. We're going to continue to try to provide the best services. You know, what we're focusing on is over the next 12 to 24 months is thinking about this. How do I audit? How do we get people to think in terms of audit?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think from an industry standpoint, I think it's just, you know, the devices are going to continue to get smaller. We got thumb drives now. We've got, you know, if you take a SIM card out of a phone, I mean, it's like a paperclip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you destroy something like that?
Smaller than a dime, the one is in my phone.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're tiny, man. So how do you make sure that that gets destroyed,
mm-hmm.
you know? So we're working on, and we have equipment in our innovation pipeline that will destroy stuff down to, you know, basically dust, so that we can manage those for people. And, you know, and I think those are the things. I think the other thing is continuing to advocate the government for a unified certification, something that everybody can follow. And if somebody from NIST was sitting here, I would tell them, come on, guys, let's redo this standard that you have and really promote it. That's about it.
The last question,
yes,
I'm sorry we're almost out of time. There's a lot more I'd like to talk to you about, but the last question is a personal question.
Yes.
We have a coffee machine in the kitchen that nobody here likes. Can we bring it over and have you take
you
care
can.
Of it for us?
We can put it in the shredder, and everybody can celebrate as it comes out on the other end in little pieces. Kind of like the movie Office Space. You remember those guys out in the field with the beating the crap out of the fax machine? So... yeah, we'll do it, man. We'll bring the shredder down here.
That's perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want you to do that because people will find out about it, and then you'll have a line of people carrying stuff out of their cubes.
Coffee
to bring down
computers.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah, anything that they don't like. It's funny because IT
stuff
guys,
in from home.
They love watching their IT creations get destroyed.
I don't know why that is. I appreciate you being here.
Yeah,
today,
thank
Jeremy.
You very
it's
much for
pleasure.
Your time. I appreciate it.